We begin by saying that an indicted person under our law is presumed innocent, and under our law, an indictment is not evidence of guilt. It is an accusation set forth in a charging instrument, which is called an indictment. The indictment stems from a police report that alleges that three individuals forced their way into a home on Steve Roberts Drive in Smyrna, Tennessee, in November of 2006, and committed the indicted offenses. The two victims in this case were a 23-year-old mother and her 2-year-old child. The indictment contains the charges of aggravated robbery, aggravated rape, and 2 counts of aggravated kidnapping. 2 of those individuals have already been arrested, convicted, and sentenced to the Department of Corrections. Now, a 3rd person has been arrested. The indicted person's name is Phanthan Sanyavong, also known as Vaughn. He is 33 years old. Police have been trying to locate this suspect for years. Now our criminal justice system can move forward and determine the guilt or innocence of Phanthan Sanyavong. We bring back to the WGNS microphones Captain Todd Spearman of the Smyrna Police Department. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Can you tell us about the arrest and how long? First of all, who worked on this case for the Smyrna Police Department?
Detective Jeff Peach and Detective John Lear were the 2 primary detectives, but there were other investigators that were tracking down leads and trying to locate the suspect in this case.
And this occurred back in November of 2006. And can you tell us about the investigation as far as what steps were taken to try to apprehend a 3rd person?
Yes, sir. We made several efforts to track this individual. We used the United States Marshal Service. In cases like this, normally what we do is we try to, number one, follow the money, see where he's getting his money to travel. In this situation, we had an individual that had contacts in Fort Myers, Florida, Louisiana, a very well-traveled individual. It wasn't very easy to isolate him down to just one location. Once we do that, then we start interviewing family members, start interviewing friends, and trying to track him and see if we can pick up his trail, so to speak.
Okay. Can you tell us about the circumstances of his arrest, where it was, and how it came about?
Yes, sir. He was arrested by the Murfreesboro Police Department in Murfreesboro. He was arrested as a result of an additional call to a residence. And I believe one of the residents who, of course, we had made so many phone calls, made so many contacts, actually informed Murfreesboro that this gentleman may have warrants on him. And when they checked, he in fact did have warrants on him. So it proves that when we get out there, and the old phrase was to beat the bushes, that we were able to get the information out and people were able to get this person turned in.
And General Weitzel, do you have any questions or any comments concerning this?
Paul, I kind of want to reflect back on what we were talking about early, and you mentioned in your presentation of this case that 2 other individuals have in fact been gone to trial and been found guilty in this case. And a lot of times people may say, well, what would be the motivation for somebody to turn state's evidence? And in this case, we anticipate that either one or maybe both of these individuals may testify if this case goes to trial. And sometimes the motivation is as simple as, look, I got caught. I went to trial. I was found guilty. I'm paying for the crime I committed, and I think that the other people involved ought to have to pay too. So a lot of times I don't want to say it's a revenge, but it's a situation where they feel like, well, I'm responsible, but everybody responsible ought to have to be punished. Other times it's where people are looking for a deal, so to speak, on their criminal charges, where it might lessen their sentence. So there are many motivations. Now, the one thing that we don't do, we don't pay people to testify. Now, there are paid informants in drug cases, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about witnesses that actually are charged with crimes that we make agreements with. So it's very important, and in this case, we feel information that has been provided by the co-defendants in this case may be substantial when this case goes to trial or even in the apprehension of this person that we've been looking for, frankly, for, I believe, about 8 years.
General, don't you find also in some of these cases when you have the details of this case, which we won't get into to discuss, but when details are so graphic that what you'll do is you'll find a defendant that actually wants other people to share in the blame and the guilt of the situation?
Exactly. I don't know what it is. It's like, well, I did something really bad, but I'm not really that bad. If somebody else did something worse than I did. So I can't explain it psychologically. But yes, they feel like that all responsible should pay. It's funny how that happens. And in the Smallwood and Dodd case we discussed earlier, when Mr. Smallwood felt like he was being made out to be the bad guy, and he was a bad guy. He shot the man 5 times. But he was manipulated and exploited by the other person. And when that dawned on him that I've been used and I'm going to be blamed, his moral compass, whatever that might be, he decided, I want to make sure the other person that's responsible is punished the same that I am.
I've also noticed that in looking at this, now that this is a cold case that has been solved, I believe that we now have, during this year, 5 cold case arrests, Bill, that have been solved. How big do you believe that this program and the fact that we formed a cold case coalition has contributed to these successes?
It's hard, Paul, to quantify it. I don't know of any formula you can use, but I feel like it's been very important. I think that the fact that we do have the various police departments and law enforcement agencies cooperating, they collect information when they're doing investigations that might not, the one in Smyrna, might not be related to one in Murfreesboro, but they receive information, and now that we have a central repository where people from different departments get together and share information, I think that that helps. I think that the program here raises public awareness of what we're trying to do. And you know, and ironically, we're on the 4th of July. For the most part, people want to be good citizens. They want to live in a safe community. And even though the crimes we talk about are heinous, and it seems like that there's a lot of crime, the vast majority of the people are law-abiding citizens. They want a good, safe community. And so I think it raises that awareness, and people become more conscious, and people think, well, you know, I may know something about that. And we have had ordinary citizens call in and provide information. It may be just a small piece that's missing that helps us progress in the investigation.
One thing we found, General, is by all the agencies working together, we realize that because you have a suspect in a case, we also have a suspect in another case. And what you find out in a lot of these cases is the information starts intertwining. So you may not be able to solve their case, but they may have information that can lead you down another path in solving different cases. And that's the benefit that we see from the investigative standpoint, is sharing information amongst each other. You end up unintentionally solving side cases just by developing the information from the suspects and the people you talk to.
How important, Captain Spearman, is it to keep these cases in front of the public so that they're aware of these constantly until they're solved?
It's very, very important. General, we have a one case that still to this day is one that I remember. When the homicide occurred, I was preparing for high school, and I won't tell you what year. Obviously, that tells you how old I am. However, I was preparing for go to a prom at high school, and it occurred. And that case sits on the corner of my desk, and I look at it every day, and I think about how that case is going. So by keeping this case in the public, it's finding that witness and finding that person, because this is such a transient society anyway, keeping it out there so people will, hey, I remember that day, or hey, I remember this incident. It's very important to get it in front of the public.
Now, one of the cases that you've profiled on this radio station before was Annalise Guerrero.
Yes, sir.
Just to help keep that in front of the public, can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience something about that case to help refresh their memory?
Yes, sir. Annalise was a young lady that her mother reported her missing earlier in the morning. We instituted a huge search party trying to look for this young child. have very, very few details of how this child was able to leave the apartment complex over on Nissan Drive in Smyrna. We searched and searched. We actually drained the creek, searched every area that we could think of, and it wasn't until sometime later that her body was found off of Old Nashville Highway, well outside of the city limits of Smyrna. That's a case that we still actively pursue and still actively search out suspects, and we do want all assistance that we can from the public that knows anything about this young lady.
Paul, one thing I wanted to mention that Captain Spearman touched on, we have a case now, that a homicide case. It was an arrest was made within the last week. It was starting to get some age on it. Several months had gone by, and it some information in that case that helped the police to be able to make an arrest came from an investigation of another case that involved a certain firearm, and that firearm became important in both cases. So that's an example, a recent example of what Captain Spearman is talking about.
The District Attorney's Office thanks you for listening to today's program. If you have any information regarding criminal activity in our community, please contact one of our law enforcement agencies. The information presented on today's show is solely for informational benefit and not intended to be legal advice. You should always consult an attorney whenever you need or rely on legal advice. Rutherford County's most trusted name in news. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.